I am delighted to be joined, I think from the sunny southeast, by Leila Wade. Leila, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Hi, Donny. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Lovely. Now, Leila, you are a campaigner with Uplift, and just maybe we could start by explaining what the organisation Uplift does.
Absolutely, yeah. So, excuse me, Uplift are, they're a people-powered campaigning community. So we have, there's 340,000 people in this community, and we take coordinated action together campaigning on issues related to justice, equality, sustainability and democracy. And our members come from all over the world, or sorry, all over Ireland, and have lots of different experiences and backgrounds with, you know, kind of a really broad church of campaigns.
And I suppose the kernel of what we're going to chat about today is the word there that you use, democracy. Now, you are at the moment campaigning to make the internet more democratic. Now, could I add in one other word into that, Leah, and hopefully it won't upset the apple cart, but could I add in the word safer, that we could have a campaign to make the internet more democratic and safer for all users?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think kind of safety is key to where we're at in terms of thinking about internet regulation. How is it safe for adults? How is it safe for children? How is it safe for vulnerable communities? And I think that this is something that kind of the world is waking up to a degree, but specifically, you know, politicians and policymakers in Europe, but also more domestically in Ireland as well. Like, I think we've seen how social media platforms, you know, and the way they exist on the internet, like they've really transformed our lives, and you know, largely for, you know, connectivity and making us feel connected to our loved ones. But more recently, and I guess the pandemic has brought this into sharp focus, that we've been forced to move our lives, our education, our socialization online, and that comes with its challenges. Like, our communities are divided along lines of hate and extremism, our democracies are distorted, our privacy is invaded, and you know, children can be unsafe online, as we've seen. And I think this is kind of, you know, this has kind of been brought into the crosshair for both European policymakers, but also here in Ireland, about how can we make it more safe. And I guess the EU are bringing forward this new law, which is the Digital Services Act, which will set rules for the internet, which is the first time that the rules have been updated in about 20 years. I think we know how much the internet has developed in the last 20 years. And this will seek to sort of level that playing field and make it more safe for users online.
Yeah, and of course we have in this country, we have the situation, because Leah and myself were chatting the other day about this, Coco's Law was brought in here as a result of a young lady who unfortunately took her own life because of bullying on social media, on the internet. But you seem to be of the opinion, I think, that maybe European law might be moving, or European legislators might be moving a little bit faster than the Irish ones, Leah, would I be right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sort of a mix. So I think, like, the way kind of digital policy and I guess the internet regulation is sort of moving at the minute, like, the rules have not kept pace with how quick technology is advancing and how trends are appearing on social media and, you know, with different platforms like Google, Facebook, even TikTok, you know. So I think there's definitely, you know, lawmakers are catching up with how communities respond to social media. And I think, as you mentioned, yeah, Coco's Law, which was also known as the Harassment and Harmful Communications and Related Offence Bill, that looked at cyberbullying and also image-based sexual abuse and violence. And this, I guess, is just one aspect of internet regulation, and it's kind of one of a patchwork tapestry that Ireland is looking at. But there's also other I guess, initiatives that the Irish government are bringing in, which is the Online Safety Media Regulation Bill. That kind of looks at illegal content, online safety, particularly for children, and sort of more criminal activity. And then there's another piece of legislation called the Electoral Reform Bill, which will set up an electoral commission in Ireland and would also look at political advertising online. And then we kind of have this dual track of what's happening in Europe as well, which is the Digital Services Act. And some of the laws or new rules that are brought in for the Digital Services Act will apply to the Online Safety Media Regulation Bill, for example. But I think with, say, I think a lot of these kind of bills that are moving through the Dáil, they're in pre-legislative scrutiny at the minute, so they're sort of happening in parallel with what's happening in Europe.
And the other side of that then is, I mean, we have seen some unbelievable crap on the internet, particularly surrounding the COVID pandemic, and some outlandish and outrageous stuff is posted on that. Totally false, with no grounding whatsoever in either reality or fact. And the thing that I want to broach with you this morning, and I mean, a lot of people will say we never had so much law and so little order, but if, God forbid, either accidentally or on purpose, I was to say something here today to you or any of the other guests or anything on air that could be construed as defamatory, I would be before the courts on a defamation action, civil action. But yet, people seem to be able to put what they like, when they like, up on the internet, and nobody seems to be getting brought to book over that. You know, I mean, is it time that, you were talking about levelling up the playing pitch there, is it time that the law was started applied a bit more evenly across the different platforms?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with, in terms of, there's a kind of disaggregated response from the platforms, especially when it relates to disinformation. And I guess that's kind of that's one of the biggest questions that I think a lot of people are trying to answer in the sort of tech and democracy field is, you know, while disinformation, as we've seen it related to elections, or as you rightly said, like COVID disinformation, it's so harmful, and we've seen how harmful it is. But actually, it's not illegal. And a lot of the kind of new laws that are bringing can deal with illegal content because, you know, there's kind of tightly defined definitions of what is illegal. But I guess, and disinformation is one of these key things. I think the future of journalism kind of think tank Fujo that's based in DCU, they've done some great work on how disinformation should be dealt with in, say, the proposals that are on the table for the Irish government. And disinformation, it's difficult because each platform takes a different approach to how they should deal with harmful but legal content, and it's kind of this kind of hodgepodge approach. So I think it's definitely it's one of the bigger questions.
Is this going to come down at the end of the day? You know, we can talk here and we can really sound like we know what we're talking about, and I'm not being derogatory when I say that. But reality is going to bite at some stage, and you know as well as I do that in most instances, particularly like this, money talks. And you were talking about the wealthiest organisations on the planet. And is it going to be a battle between the internet giants and their checkbooks versus various governments around the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a bit of a dogfight. These are, as you said, some of the wealthiest companies that the world has known, not even in entire global history. And I think they are the checkbooks are being thrown around. There's a website you can go on. It's called lobbyfacts.eu, and you can see, there's a real-time graph of who is, like, the top 10 lobbyists, or who's doing the most lobbying. And you know, I checked it this morning, and you know, the kind of top 10 lobbyists of the day in Europe, and Google and Facebook are in that top 10. I think you know, the tech giants spent a combined 21 million lobbying the EU last year, and you can be sure that that's happening in Ireland as well. But I do think that you know, there's an appetite, and it's moving into the public consciousness, and it is moving into, you know, our sort of our political chambers as well, that, you know, there is an appetite to make big tech accountable for the kind of influence that they have over our marketplace, our online marketplaces, you know, both the marketplace of ideas and how that impacts our democracies, and democracies, I mean that more broadly, but also, you know, the marketplace of products and our economies. And a lot of this comes down to the business model that the platforms operate under. So I think, you know, we are definitely up against this in terms of lobbying, but, you know, civil society and also the public, you know, we definitely have some power in this as well.
Leah, do you think that, and it's probably a little bit outside your spectrum and that of Uplift, but do you think that there should be some way, because it's kind of a hobby horse of mine and ours here at Near FM, media literacy, that people see something on the internet, and because it's up there and it looks the part, well, then it must be true. Whereas, and I mean, there was a classic example of it in Portugal, I think it was, where there was a post put up in relation to COVID. Now, I think it was something to do with, it was the vaccine or the death count or something like that. But it was totally, completely, oh, I'll tell you what it was. It was a ruling in a court case in relation to the pandemic and that. And the facts as was represented in it were totally, totally wrong. And I actually managed to get my hands on the proper transcripts from the court and the proper ruling. Now, if you put them side by side, they looked exactly the same. So basically what happened, I'd say, was a copy and paste, and then they put in their own details to sue. But if you looked at it on first looking, it appeared to be 100% genuine. And, you know, it couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think media literacy is, and I guess digital literacy, like, it is a huge part of this as well. I think it's sort of, it's one cog in the machine of making users, like, increasing user safety online and sort of increasing user empowerment online. But I do think it, like, media literacy, it's one strand, and I guess the other is that we don't have laws either for how social media companies present information to us. And you know, it's a lot of sort of tech platforms have been allowed to operate and expand in a sort of Wild West, you know, lawlessness.
Is that because, and I don't mean to interrupt nor cut across you, but it's something that came into my mind when you just used that one phrase, the Wild West lawlessness. Is that because of the fact that the internet can operate from anywhere across any border, and, like, to trace something back to where it originated from? I mean, again, we are talking about people who are extremely tech savvy, so I mean, we have the example recently of the hack on the HSE. Now, I mean, to trace that back to where it came from, you're talking about the last report I seen on it was that, well, based on the law of probabilities, we're almost 90-95% sure that it originated from St. Petersburg. But, I mean, internet is anywhere around the world. So, I mean, other than shutting it down completely, like we see in some regimes, it's nearly impossible to control it, isn't it?
It's definitely challenging. And yeah, as you say, the internet knows no borders. And that's where I think, in terms of our responses to it, like they need to be global. And I guess the problem with a lot of, I guess the challenge with a lot of trends that happened online is that, you know, they're all global problems. I think we all experience the same difficulties with disinformation, cyber attacks, but they're also incredibly localized. And I think it's about having a coordinated response, and also thinking about how laws that are developed in Europe or in Ireland, say, for example, might have unintended consequences if they are sort of replicated in other jurisdictions or in other countries.
And now, final question of the day for you. You'll be glad to know. Transpose yourself into a room, virtual room, and sitting in front of you is the communications minister and the Taoiseach. You have 3 minutes to ask them what you want. What would you be looking for them to do?
It's a great question. I also feel like I'm sort of maybe doing my Irish oral, you know, when you have a question about, if you were a Taoiseach for a day, what would you do?
No, I'm asking you, if you were addressing, now addressing the Taoiseach and you're representing Uplift, what do you want him to do for you to give you what you want?
I think we need meaningful transparency, and we need meaningful transparency with the rules and regulations that they're that they're devising. We need meaningful transparency from the sort of the tech giants, how they're operating, but also how are they designing the algorithms that control what we see. But we also, I think, need transparency around, I guess, you know, we know how much they're lobbying, So I think transparency is transparency and accountability really is really the kind of the number one ask.
And you know something, it's a funny thing that you say that, Leah, because it doesn't sound too difficult. It sounds real simple. And to be very honest with you, listening to you this morning and knowing a tiny, tiny little bit about it, I would think if you got those two things, it would solve it. It would go an awful long ways towards solving most of the problems. And it doesn't sound, on the face of it, as you have just put it forward there, like too big an ask, does it?
Yeah, I guess that's the hope, really. I think, though, I mean, and one challenge that policymakers and lawmakers definitely have is that the internet is constantly evolving, and you know, platforms and the way we use them are constantly evolving. So I guess it's having the foresight to create a regulation that's harms based, or sort of, you know, systemic based, systems based, that will allow for the law to adapt with the constant evolution that we're experiencing with the internet. And it's having that kind of flexibility and room to manoeuvre to kind of deal with future digital threats, as it were. I guess that's the challenge, I suppose.
Well, I wish you success and I wish you luck, and I can thank you and indeed Uplift the organisation on behalf of everybody listening this morning, because you do great work. And to be quite honest with you, Leah, I don't think you get enough coverage and enough column inches and media airtime either. So well done for everything you're doing there in Uplift, to you and all the team. Campaigner with Uplift, Leah Wade. Leah, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It has been a pleasure, and very, very interesting stuff, and we will keep an eye on it going forward. Thank you, Leah.
Thanks so much, Donny.
Bye-bye. Now, as I said, there, it's an interesting times we live in, where we are controlled by an item in our pocket no bigger than a box of cigarettes. And I don't know, I still think that the power that's being wielded, and at the end of the day, I think a lot of it is down to the fact that money is power. And by God, do these organisations have some amount of money.